Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so first up, Florida Man escapades. I always am amused whenever I read the words bicycle chase. A Florida man denies the drugs are his after a bicycle chase, says the sheriff's office. I'm going to go ahead and disagree with him on this one. Now, don't come at me, Florida people. I'm going to say this wrong. Weeky Wetchy? Is that correct?
I don't know.
W-E-E-K-I-W-A-C-H-E-E?
That sounds right.
Weeky Wetchy. I'm just saying. That sounds like a fun place to be. A man is accused of drug possession and leading deputies on a bicycle chase in Central Florida late Sunday night. Hernando County Sheriff's Office said around 11:30 p.m. they were patrolling Cortez Boulevard, and a deputy noticed a man riding a bicycle, and it was missing a front light, headed westbound on the eastbound lanes of Cortez Boulevard. The deputy attempted a traffic stop, but the bicyclist quickly rode behind the Weeky Wetchy Village Plaza. And even with the emergency lights flashing, the bicyclist continued around the plaza at a bicyclist pace, as one would imagine. The sheriff's office said that eventually the bicyclist rode through a sidewalk area to the parking lot of a Motel 6. And at that point, deputies exited their patrol vehicle and began chasing him on foot. They caught up to him in the nearby Quality Inn parking lot. The suspect, identified as Christopher Clay, had a blue fanny pack. Sorry, it's called a belt bag now. And inside the bag, sheriff's office said that a rubber container with a crystal-like substance was found, and it tested positive for meth. And then they found glass pipes, meth residue, prescription bottles with labels scratched off. And then they were not controlled substances, and their names I can't pronounce. Clay told deputies that he fled because he did not want to go to jail for the missing light on his bicycle. When questioned about the illegal drugs, he said, "No. None of these are mine. They were placed in my belongings. They were the only things in his fanny pack." You're just going to put on a fanny pack of drugs? What? His bond's at $7,500. He's got a lot of charges. So stupid. A Florida man was arrested for keeping two gators in his backyard pool.
That's not legal?
Now, I love, if nature puts them in a pond and it's your pond, they're yours. It's okay, but you can't touch them. But if you move them to the pool, heaven forbid. All right, I'm kidding. I'm slightly. A Central Florida man was arrested because he kept alligators in his pool. He denied when Florida Fish and Wildlife asked him questions about it. He's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." "What? Alligators where?" And then he said, "Yes, okay, those are my two alligators in my pool." During the investigation, they also discovered a recently killed alligator on the property with freshwater slider turtles. So he's got two counts of possession of an alligator, which is an actual charge in Florida. One count of unlawful take of slider turtles. And we don't know about the size of the alligators or the man's identity. That's crazy. They can get you, but you can't get them.
Right.
Just saying. And let's see. Oh, we got a story about the villages. It's a story from the villages. I always love it when I see the word villager in these stories, because I think of the NPCs in Minecraft. Meh. A Corvette owner got in trouble. A Florida man was arrested for attacking a Corvette owner who revved his engine at him. What? I'm sorry, what? Don't rev up your engine at somebody, apparently, because you could get attacked. I don't know. That's what happened in the villages in Summerfield, Florida, Marion County Sheriff's. So there's a feud between a 72-year-old Corvette driver and the young whippersnapper, 63-year-old Kenneth Lewicki. The Corvette driver said that he was revving up his engine as a brag as he passed by the home of Lewicki on Sunday afternoon. 6'5", 290-pound Lewicki didn't like that much, so he drove to the Corvette owner's home and confronted him and knocked him over onto his motorcycle. And the victim said he had multiple surgeries in his back. He was worried the rods were shifted out of alignment, so he went to the hospital by ambulance. Lewicki told authorities that the Corvette owner had been harassing him and his wife, revving the engine and all that stuff. So he's got a count of battery, and he's was released from Marion County Jail, $2,500 bond. I mean, I get it. I mean, I guess it could. Wouldn't you, like, if it's harassment, though, take it to the police. Don't go beat the guy up on his property. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, the P15 is ideal. It is the most, it's like, honestly, this is one of my favorite concealed carry handguns out there. It is the smallest, lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm that you can purchase. There are imitators, but there's only one original from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. 1.27 inches wide, 4-inch barrel, and you have two magazines. It comes with two mags. So you have the standard 15-round magazine that has a minimal pinky extension. And then, of course, you have your flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds, and that's if you want more concealability. Tritium and fiber optic front sight. You got a fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. Striker fire reliability, smooth trigger pull. This is compact and ideal for concealed carry self-defense. Two versions. You got the polymer version and the metal version. I have both. I think that both serve a purpose. I mean, I like the metal version with the walnut wood, with the walnut grip, the little panels on it, as, you know, that's my going out concealed carry. Of course, I look at it, you know, I got my woman perspective. That's my going out 9mm. You got to check it out. It's from Kel-Tec, the P15. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
This was a city that had lost something like 20,000 people and had dwindled down to about 60,000 people from a high of 80,000 people. So this was really a place where people were, they felt like we're going to welcoming them. But now there are some residents who say that they really don't like the change. I talked to one man who said that he doesn't like the cultural changes. He doesn't like the idea that there are people here that are changing the racial makeup of this city, saying that the city's sort of lost. He also said that there were in his mind, claims that there were stray cats missing, and sort of had this idea that maybe Haitians were abusing animals. Of course, city officials have said there's no evidence
of that. Yeah, the Democrats
are
like, no, don't believe your lying eyes. We've had this conversation yesterday. We played video for you yesterday. There are actual 911 calls where people have been calling in about it. I don't believe that anyone's talking about the culture or the racial makeup. I actually don't believe that, because can I be real honest with you for a moment? First off, that's only things that the left focuses on. Secondly, I am so done with crappy restaurants. Like, bring in some, like, good food. Bring in, nobody cares. Stop it. Stop pushing this stupid nonsense that people, that's a Democrat thing. Democrats are obsessed and have been since they were Democrats in the South running everything. They've been obsessed with replacement theory. That is a Democrat theory. That is a Democrat fetish. They're real freaks over there. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. Nobody's talking about that. By the way, so here's Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. He's a moderate, and he's wrong. But here's Mike DeWine, audio soundbite 13, saying that it's just the internet that's crazy. So dumb.
Well, Major, this is something that came up on the internet, and the internet can be quite crazy sometimes. And look, the mayor, Mayor Rue of Springfield, says no, there's no truth in that. They have no evidence of that at all. So I think we go with what the mayor says. He knows his city.
They have no evidence of it at all. Kane, what are those police calls that the Federalists got tons of audio clips of?
They're of Springfield, Ohio residents complaining of their pets missing and public parks having geese and ducks slaughtered.
By the way, the Attorney General of Ohio hit back at this and said that, and this is Dave Yost, he said that the media is ignoring the evidence surrounding these people's claims about people having, about the wildlife in the parks and their pets and everything else. He said that people are ignoring this stuff. And he said the media is overlooking these, and it's all politicized. That's the reason why they're doing it. He said, quote, there are recorded police calls from witnesses who saw immigrants capturing geese for food in Springfield. This is the Ohio Attorney General. He said citizens, this is a direct quote, citizens testified to city council. These people would be competent witnesses in court. Why does the media find a carefully worded city hall press release better evidence? End quote. And there you have it. I love how the media is like, hey, hurry up. Let's call a Democrat official. Hey, there's not people eating geese there, right? Because that would be crazy, right? Yeah, sure. There's nobody here eating geese. Okay, thanks. Bye. That's it. That's literally all they did. That's all they did. And who are all the people that have been you know, that they reach out to and they ask about all this. I mean, for Mike DeWine to ignore it and for him to say that this isn't a thing is, I mean, it's unfortunate. I get that he doesn't like, I get that he's got issues with Trump. But this actually is true. I mean, it's not something, I mean, this is not an untruth. It's not a lie. I mean, why are people, they're so, here's the thing though. We wouldn't have this problem if you actually, I don't know, maybe monitored who came in through the border. I hope Republicans, when they talk about this, they need to not forget to bring it back to the border, because that's why we're having all of these issues. And it's not just this. This is more, sadly, it's more of a lighthearted, you know, issue. But I agree with what the attorney general said. He had also echoed what's been said by some other Republicans, saying, you know, also that things that are real are the children that are being murdered by people who enter the country illegally who have no right to be here. I mean, he's right about that. I just and there have been so many stories about this. The dad that was in Texas that had his 11-year-old daughter murdered. I mean, we were just talking about this just the other day, and they had one of the victim advocates that were testifying in front of Congress about this. And, you know, an 11-year-old girl, a guy who's been stalking them, watches and waits for the dad to go to work. And the dad comes home. His daughter had been raped and stuffed into a bag, into a hamper under her bed. I mean, it's sad. 11 years old. So that's happening. That's a real thing. These are all real stories. This isn't just about waterfowl and people's actual 911 calls to police about their pets and actual town halls that were literally scheduled and held for this specific issue. Anyone who's telling you that the internet, Mike DeWine, you're full of it. This isn't, can we just stop for a moment? I am so tired of the tribalism in the Republican Party. It makes me not want to be a Republican. I hate the GOP right now. I blanking hate them because of this, nonsense right here. I don't care if you like Trump or not. I have zero blanks in my pocket to give about it. That has no bearing on the veracity of these claims from these people who held a town hall specifically about it before Trump had ever heard about it, before J.D. Vance had ever heard about it. This was an issue before J.D. Vance ever learned of it and talked about it. Actual 911 calls into law enforcement, town halls scheduled, video evidence, photos. These are real people. There's so many other horrendous things that are out there. You don't even need to make this up. This is a real thing, though. But you know what gets me? And this is what makes me sick. You know, I love animals and all that. But the fact that the media and the left waited until now to get this outraged about it, and that people didn't really pay that much. People paid attention, but there wasn't this much outrage in the press. And you know it. Over the issue of the lawlessness entering in at the border and the criminality coming with it. Were people paying attention to 11-year-old Maria Gonzalez being brutally murdered? Jocelyn Ungary, were they paying attention to these beautiful Americans being murdered by people who were coming into the country illegally? Or did they only pay attention when, oh my gosh, someone's eating a dog, someone's eating a cat? That's going to pull at people's emotional strings. We can't have that. That's a narrative we have to combat. That's the only time that they mobilized. They didn't mobilize to show outrage over children being murdered. But now, that's what makes me sick. Are you kidding me? And like Governor Mike DeWine, I get it that you don't like Trump. Whoopity-doo. There are a lot of Republicans who don't. Whoopity-doo. Get over it. That has nothing to do with this being a true story, which it is. It has no effect on it. You're not hurting Trump by discrediting this very real story. You're hurting the people who came forward in the scheduled town hall to talk about it specifically. You're hurting the people who called 911 to make these reports. You're hurting the people who took photos and video and are saying that this is a legitimate thing because you're calling them liars. All because you dislike the guy at the top of the ticket. It's annoying. And so that is an issue Republican Party's got to deal with. Just something they got to deal with. But I will say, it enrages me that you didn't have this level of outrage from the left. And some of you independents and moderates out there, I'm not going to handhold you. You're grown-ass people. If you're going to get offended because I said people haven't paid attention, guess what? It's true. And if people are offended by that, you're too soft for politics. Get the hell out of the country. Go somewhere else where the government makes decisions for you. You're too soft for freedom. But for people to not get outraged until, oh my gosh, they're eating someone's pet cat. Yeah, well, guess what? Someone had a pet daughter that got murdered. Several of them. Brutally. That's a concern. Good heavens. So this is, it's a sad thing. I don't know why you have some of the, I mean, it's a real story. Am I, Kane, being incorrect in saying that some of the, like Mike DeWine, I don't know why you would discredit the actual evidence. Is it just because he's got a thing with Trump?
It looks like TDS is spread far and wide. But why is it always the whole of government messaging is don't believe what you're seeing, just believe what we're telling you? And it's always been that way, and it's actually a little more egregious now than it's ever been. So I don't see how people can't see this.
Do you want to know how horrible things like the Cultural Revolution in China happened, and in the lead up to the hall and later to the genocide, the Holocaust, how that all happened? Because people were too afraid to speak up and push back against authority. I mean, that's a true story. There, people were too afraid to speak up and push back. There's a story of a classroom exercise, and we did something like this when I was in eighth grade with my history teacher, where you're taking notes in class, and one kid just gets called out of the blue and sent to the principal's office. You're not taking notes, but everybody knows that the kid's taking notes in class. And kids kind of speak up, but, oh, you're going to get in trouble too if you try to defend this. Even though, you know, the kid was taking notes in class, the teacher still sends him to the principal's office. And this is a lesson that's taught, that we had a similar lesson like this when I was in eighth grade. And I know that I was reading something about it a couple of weeks ago. It's always when you're studying the lead up to World War II. And we were reading, there was a story, when you were reading the story about Anne Frank and reading stories about people who had to be hidden and sheltered away from being sent to concentration camps and everything else. I mean, you had people who were trying to hide from authorities, and you had people who were afraid to speak up to authorities. It's easy to see how this stuff happens because people can be cowardly. No one wants to admit it because everyone loves to think that they would rise to the challenge. But I want you to look back and see what happened during lockdown. How many people were so damn fine with bending the knee? How many people didn't speak out when they saw people arrested for trying to open their businesses simply to make a living? How many people didn't speak out when your kids were shuttered away, your own children shuttered away, isolated, not allowed to go out and integrate into the world during one of the most pivotal points in their lives? How many people were fine with compliance? People don't like to see that reflection of themselves, and it indicts everybody. You can see why stuff like this happens. You don't need a classroom exercise like sending a kid to the principal's office for not taking notes when they're taking notes as a way to measure how many other of his students are going to defend him. And then say, see, this is how this is allowed to happen. It's on a micro scale, but the message sticks. So keep that in mind with this stuff, because this is how the government and this is how tyrants perpetuate this. They tell you that what you're seeing isn't real. No, 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 you're not seeing this. And you know what? If you think you're seeing this, there's something wrong with you. you're weird, or you're a conspiracy theorist. No one, no good person wants to be labeled that way. This is why I am viciously vocal about this creeping up in the church. When you have pastors up there, well, if you don't believe in a safe and fair border, there's something wrong with you. It's sinful. Telling good people to not believe their own eyes. Telling good people that it is a moral failing if they believe in law and order. This is how this stuff starts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up here, we were busy running our mouths during break a lot. Let's see, first up, the return of the, yes, God bless America, the return of the gas-guzzling huge engine supercar, Aston Martin, God love you. I'm just going to say a quick prayer for Aston Martin. I would never be able to afford this car. It's a muscular carbon fiber bodied $429,000 coupe. But guess what? It's oil and gas, baby. You got a V12, 824 horsepower. What? Oh, twin turbocharged 5.2 liter V12 engine. And it's a beast of a car. It's one of the new 6- and 7-figure supercars. Yay! I love a supercar. I want to hear an engine that when it starts, I want it to put hair on your chest, like it just goes, just like it just auto grows, right? You know, like that. I'm going to say something. Don't do it. When the car starts, it should be making muscles bigger and dropping panties. That's all I want to hear from that car. That's all I want to hear from.
Good night, everybody.
There you go. But this show, I'm going to get emails about today. I can't help it. I am so happy about this because you guys know how bad I hate EVs. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Aston Martin. Thank you, supercars.
Ah! That's a nice-looking car, too.
That car is... I love that car. If I wasn't married, I'd marry it. Me and that car. We'd be going to JCPenney to get our photos done in a beautiful fall vignette. Me and that car. A lost cat turns up 2,000 miles from home after 3 years. Jeez. I'm not a cat person because I'm allergic, but I get it. This cat went missing from its family's Texas home. It turned up in Massachusetts. It was a skinny stray cat. The Dakin Humane Society found it. And somehow they ever, the cat named Shoto, S-H-O-T-O. Nobody knows how it got to Massachusetts, what it experienced or anything, but
I'm just glad Haitians didn't get it.
No joke, right? Because, I mean, going from Texas to Massachusetts means you got to pass near or through Ohio, you know, and it's not, you know, not great for cats up there right now. A Las Vegas store clerk was arrested because he beat a man with a bat over nacho cheese. Now, I'm very particular about my nacho cheese, so let's wait for all the facts, okay? Let's get all the stories in. A Las Vegas convenience store clerk, he got arrested. He beat a man with a bat because he took too much nacho cheese. That is nacho cheese. That's the store's cheese. That was bad. 47-year-old Myron Buell last week was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and battery with a deadly weapon. They got a call early morning. Somebody was bleeding near an Arco gas station. They found the victim on the sidewalk, his face all bloodied up. He couldn't talk. They had life-threatening injuries. The person who called 911 said the guy was on the victim was on the ground. He saw the victim on the ground while pumping gas, asked the store clerk to call 911. The clerk goes, I'm not calling 911. He better have learned a lesson. And apparently, he went in and took too much cheese from the nacho cheese machine. The guy told the victim to leave and not break things. And the victim said he wouldn't leave without nachos. So the guy pushed him out and hit him with a bat. So was it self-defense? I don't know. Speaking of immigration, have you seen what's been happening in Germany? So I saw today, they've only had 13 knife attacks today. It's not even 7 o'clock apparently there, but they have a live knife attack tracker in Germany. It's a big issue. They have different attacks literally every single day, and they can't, you know, they got to ban guns is what they need to do. They really need to ban guns in Germany. And Germany has recently notified the European Union that they're bringing in new controls on all of their land borders due to what they describe as, quote, the continuing burden of Islamist terrorism and relentless When I say migration, I don't mean legal migration. I mean the boats coming from North Africa and then everybody filtering up through Germany. That's what I'm talking about. That's their interior minister. He informed the EU of that. Their interior minister informed the EU of that this week. And then Nancy Faeser of the Social Democrat Party finally accepted, and this is per Daily Mail, that Germany has no choice but to enforce proper border controls if they have any hope of coping with the staggering amount of what they described as entirely unauthorized entries. And so now Bild, their newspaper, says that the new controls that Germany is imposing, they're going to start seeing really strict restrictions and rejections of people trying to illegally enter at their borders. And it's enraged the EU. The EU is enraged. They are livid. So this is going to be a huge fight with them. It is. It's interesting because this was a complete U-turn from the SPD, Nancy Faeser, who's the head of that far-leaning, left-leaning party, because just last month, she refused to implement these controls on their land borders. Germany, it's gotten so bad that there are, they tell women, especially in some of the more urban areas in the big cities, you can't walk around at like night, you know, it's not safe. And there have been attacks at like the, because you have the Christmas markets that pop up as you get closer towards the holidays. And a lot of people like to go. They got a lot of tourism that goes through there. And they tell women, like, it's not safe for you to walk around at night because women are being attacked. And now there's all these knife attacks. They've been protesting over it. So far, because just last month they said that they're not going to extend these controls. Now they're going to have to. And so far they're turning away thousands of people. Because they've seen almost like a triple increase in what they call first-time asylum requests. That's insane. So they've been having these meetings about this. This whole story is enraging Europe, the EU, the European Union. In fact, it was described as fury because neighboring countries say that they are not going to take back, because you have these people that are coming up through, you know, coming in from, you know, normally like Northern Africa and going across the Med and then going through all these other countries. And they allow these people to pass through their countries to get to Germany. So now these neighboring countries that were allowing these people to immigrate illegally through their land to get to Germany, they said that they're not taking them back if they're rejected. They will not allow them to come back. And they said that Berlin's plan to stop, quote unquote, asylum seekers and Islamist terror was a, quote, threat to free movement. This is what the EU is doing over there. Now you can see why. You see why Britain left it. It's a mess. You can see why they're having this huge fight with conservative leading countries like Italy, and why some of these other conservative parties in these other European nations are starting to gain a lot more popularity and even some seats, because this is what they're dealing with. The EU loses its mind if you try to protect your own citizens and actually demand lawful entry. This is crazy. So they said these harsh restrictions, they start in a couple of days. They start in 4 days, the new restrictions for Germany. And it's going to allow, they said, authorities to reject more people directly at the border. And now Poland, the Czech Republic, Switzerland are really upset. Everybody that they border with is upset, especially because the EU just wanted people to be able to move freely through each of the European Union nations. And the EU keeps going, oh, well, we're going to have more restrictive border entry. No, they're not. They haven't at all. So they said that they're furious with Germany because they're going to reject these illegal immigrants, which means that they're going to be rejected back to these neighboring states through which they were going, to get to Germany. And they said Austria's foreign minister, Gerhard Karner, told Bild, Germany's newspaper, quote, I have directed the head of the federal police to not allow any returns. Austria will not accept any persons rejected from Germany. Well, tough beans. Germany doesn't, you can't force them to accept them. The Czech press said that the new border policies are a threat to the Schengen Agreement. Now, the Schengen Agreement is an agreement through a lot of these EU nations where they have an agreement on traveling and identification and documentation, etc. And that matters if you're a U.S. citizen and you're traveling over to these countries where you have a Schengen agreement about, you know, your documentation and passport and all that stuff. But they want this like free movement within Europe. Well, guess what? That it's allowed to happen. A massive, massive, massive increase in Islamist terror. Cities that are being overtaken by complete lawless entry and people who have no documentation that have immigrated illegally. Some come from criminal backgrounds. You've seen an increase in rapes, stabbings. I mean, for crying out loud, like I just started the segment with, Germany literally has a live knife tracker website because there are so many of these attacks now. And so they're coming up. If they're not coming up through the Mediterranean, they're coming up through the Balkan route. So you have some Middle Eastern and North African people who want to immigrate illegally. They're coming up through the Balkans or they're coming up through the Mediterranean, which is a lot. It's just as dangerous. I mean, they both represent, they both have different levels of danger. But I don't know. I think Germany's learning the lesson from Angela Merkel, who, remember, she famously declared back in 2015 that, quote, Islam is not a source of terrorism, and then opened up the country's borders. And now look where they're at. This is what they're dealing with. When one country decides to enforce restrictions at the border, the entire EU loses its mind. Insane. And they're going to try to bully them with the full weight, not just of international press, but all of these different nations, their press, their officials, everything. It's a extortion racket. The EU is nothing but a bunch of extortionists.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.